Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
That's right. The world will not get any better if we just let it be. We gotta change this world, you and me. We would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. As your host and the voice of MPH, we welcome you to another program. Agenda for tonight, as we speak to the underserved communities, to try to help uplift these communities by sharing with you information that you can use as a tool for liberation. Today, our lineup consists of, we can have this little segment to give you something to think about. Following something to think about, there will be briefly a Black Men Fact on Mother Day. From that event, or that segment, we will have current events in the political community, where we hope to be speaking with Sister Pan Africa, an update on Jamil Alameen and Mamil, followed by this upcoming important event worldwide as it relates to our communities, Africa Liberation Day, with Brother Anthony Williams. And last but not least, we hope to have with us Sister Terry Brown, who will be live from the Venezuela Embassy. And for our special feature tonight on how your home can kill you, we have with us Sister Sophia. She will be giving a perspective on what's going on in our communities in terms of the danger inside our own homes, inside our own residence. And they are not talking about what's happening in our communities. Sister Sophia, she will be giving us something that's really important that we need to know about. So that's the order of our lineup for today. Right now, we'd like to get started with Mr. Page of History by posing this question to you. And we would like for you to respond back to us in email to missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. And our question for the day is, how can we best serve our mother? And what is a mother? We have two questions. They are related to the upcoming holiday, upcoming celebration tomorrow for Mother's Day. How can we best serve our mother? And what is a mother to you? We'd like for you to email us your response to Missing Pages History 1 at yahoo.com. In 2 weeks on our next program, we will announce our winner, and we will send you a MPH Radio Prize. So, again, the question for the day, to give you something to think about, and we'd like for you to email us your response to Missing Pages History 1 at yahoo.com. And the questions are, how can we best serve our mothers? And what is a mother? So, now, let's continue this down this road as we talk about Mother Day. What we're going to do right now with our little mini fact, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Mother Day. And to do that, we're going to bring in our member and contributor, Susie, to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Susie.
Hi, good evening. I'd like to wish every mother and also fathers out there a happy Mother's Day because they contribute to the well-being of our youth and children of today. First of all, starting with the mini fact, Mother's Day has been recognized in special ways for thousands of years. It's celebrated in over 40 countries around the world. Normally, most of the countries celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday in the month of May. But, however, many countries celebrate Mother's Day entirely at a different time of the year. Thus, the exact date and the way this event is celebrated vary from country to country since the time of ancient Greece. But whatever may be the date of Mother's Day around the world, the spirit is the same everywhere. Thus, everywhere in the world, mothers are respected for their extreme devotions toward their kids. The festival of Mother's Day is based on emotions shared between mother and a child. However, the ideas have been commercialized by marketers all over the world to convert the sentiments into profit. Rigorous advertising campaigns are launched days before the festival to lure people to go on a spending spree for the day. Though this helps to promote Mother's Day and raise awareness about the day on a brighter side, and let's all walk that extra mile to keep the emotions and the noble ideal behind the day alive and not just make it a day of formal exchange of gifts. Here are some facts that you may not know about Mother's Day. About 122 million calls are made to moms in America on Mother's Day. That's one. Mom starts with M. The vast majority of the world's languages have a word for mother that starts with the letter M. Okay, and excuse me, for Mother's Day facts to share with you, here's a couple more. Mother's Day is the third highest selling holiday for flowers and plants. After Christmas and Hanukkah, more people buy flowers and plants for their moms on Mother's Day than any other holiday. Around approximately one quarter of all the flowers purchased throughout the year are brought for Mother's Day. The Greek would have spring celebrations in honor of Rhea, the goddess of fertility, motherhood, and generation. These are just small mini facts on Mother's Day. As of 2014, there have been 43.5 million moms in the States. These women are between the ages of 15 and 50 and have collectively mothered 95.8 million children. The moniker, quote, mom, unquote, comes from babies. The first thing a baby can vocalize is the ma sound, which is why almost every language in the world for mother begins with the letter M, or in some iteration, the Ma sound. And those are just a few small mini facts about Mother's Day and what it stands for.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, and hopefully we have given our listening audience some backdrop on the importance of Mother's Day in history and why we should celebrate it. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about current events, what's happening in our political community with Sister Pan Africa. We're going to get an update on what's going on with Mumia Abu-Jamal and Jamia Alameen from a perspective from our Sister Pan Africa. So we're going to pause for this call, and we'll be right back, and you are listening to Missing Pages of History. Back to Missing Pages of History, and when we talk about love, there's an individual right now we'd like to introduce to our listening audience who typifies this whole concept of love, love for the people, love for the community, and love for humanity. And that is, we have with us Sister Pan Africa. For those who may not know who she is, we're going to let her briefly introduce herself. Sister Pan, welcome to Missing Pages of History. For those who may not know who you are, will you share with our listening audience who is Pan Africa?
Right. I'm a great-grandmother, grandmother, mother, wife. I am the Minister of Confrontation for the MOVE organization. Let me correct that. I am one of the ministers of confrontation for the MOVE organization. The organization, the family that this government dropped a bomb on May 13th, Mother's Day of 1985. I am also chairwoman of the Uncompromising International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. That's me.
Sister Pam, we are honored to have you as a participant on our radio program, because when you talk about a historic figure, you are one of our many historical figures and people who have not only made history but continue to make history, and we'd like to thank you for being on this program today. Now, what we want to do right now, Sister Pam, we know recently you've been following very closely what's going on with two very important historical individuals who have not only made history and continue to make history, they are part of our history-making legacy. That is Brother Jamil Alameen and Brother Muhammad Abu Jamal. Can you just talk to our listeners, audience, give an update on what's happening? Matter of fact, I was talking to some youth earlier, Sister Pam, where I live at. They never even heard of these two individuals. So can you give us an update on the nature of what's going on with these two historical individuals and who they are for our listening audience, particularly the youth who don't know nothing about our people because many times it's not being taught in our history school and history classes today.
Right. Look, thank you. And I appreciate the song, The Greatest Love of All. You know, and it talks about teaching the children. You know, I want to talk first about Brother Jamil Alameen, also known as H-Rap Brown. Before I go any further, I want to give a website where people can, you know, find out more about him. And that's What Happened to Number 2 to Rap. What Happened to Rap.com. Going to his case, and for people who don't know rap, Brother Jamil Alameen, the Iman Brother Jamil Alameen. I think they should Google because I don't really have enough time to say all of who he is. And other than the fact that he's a freedom fighter, he have a greatest love for our people. He's been shot, beat, tortured, thrown in jail. Laws have been made in order to put this brother in jail that can also put Number 45 in jail, because when this brother, as a young man in SNCC or SCLC, I can't remember which one right now, and when he was going into the South and, you know, all around getting people prepared to vote and making them understand why they should vote, and he was giving these speeches, and he left from one city to the next, and they created a law called the H-Rap Brown Law, and that's that he was speaking was causing, you know, a problem, and you know, getting preparing people to riot and things like that, you know, during his vote time. Here you have Trump, and who, and falls right under the H-Rap Brown Law, and because not on his campaign speeches. And he not only told people to be hit, punch upside the head, and I will pay you, and I would be your, you know, pay your lawyers or whatever. And people, you know, proceeded to do that. H-Rap Brown was locked up because he was telling people to vote. He didn't tell nobody to hit anybody upside the head. He had the most powerful weapon of all, the truth and the ability to have people listen to and understand and act. And that's who Brother H-Rap Brown is. And I went down to his hearing. He was, this last time he was locked up, and he was locked up for, you know, the accusation of murdering someone. They lied and said that he murdered someone, a cop, cops that came to his home, and one of the police officers, two police officers were shot, one died, and but it wasn't him, because what they said was the person, H-Rap Brown, Brother Jamil Alameen, was shot by the cop, and there was traces of blood that they followed, right? And at the point, and, you know, of course, he fled for his life. And, you know, as anyone would do, you know, with these terroristic monsters, you know, on him and trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Once he did that, and, you know, this is the reason why they say if he was innocent, why did he run? Excuse me? And, you know, I wish a whole lot of other brothers could have got, you know, out of the eye range of these monsters. But they took him to court. It was a railroad trial. He was found guilty. He was sentenced to jail for life. And part of what the judge was saying, you know, about him, they was going to bury him in there. And I'm paraphrasing because I can't think of the words now, but this is what the gist of it, that no one will ever hear from this brother again. And nobody will ever remember this brother. And 20 years they stopped his voice from being out. They put a gag order on the rap. But let me go back, and because before they did that, rap was in general population. And because he's a phenomenal person, because he's a, a really good imam, and the inmates wanted him to be the imam, not only of that prison, but prisons throughout the United States. And because of that, they seen him as a threat. Now, this man, was talking about peace. And, love and understanding and raising black folks up to fight this devil, this monster, not on its terms, but on the terms of God, Allah, Mama, with truth. And he was winning, so they pulled him back in, and that's when they told him that he will, people will never hear his voice again. He'll be forgotten. They threw him into a prison in Florence, Colorado, which I think is 8 feet down, 8 feet down, 8 feet down, under earth. And, where he got sick, there was, a big cry and battle, to get this brother out of there. He's out of there now, but he still cannot speak. Last week or week before last, there was a court hearing, it was in Superior Court, a three-judge panel, it's deciding whether or not to lift this 20-year gag order on him. And the only reason why they put this gag order on him, because he was able to tell the truth. And within that time, this brother, who whenever you see a civil rights movement, documentary, he's there. But somehow, we lost our way of, defending those who have defended us, who defend us. Because, like you said, people are like, well, who's that? In his 75th year, his birthday, we're in the 75th year of his life. There's a movement that was gathered by the committee to, and I don't know whether I'm saying it right, but the committee to bring attention to Brother Jamil Al-Amin. So the three judge panel has that decision to make. When we went to the court case, there was people from all across the United States, and what these people looked at 20 years later, without hearing the voice of Brother Jamil Al-Amin. The courtroom was full. There was an overflow courtroom. Me, myself, I don't like being in courtrooms. I like to be on the streets and passing out information and letting people know what's going on. So the courtroom was full, and Brother Jamil wasn't there. His presence was there, and the people who loved him was there. So you feel this impact. I mean, people was there from all walks of life. So we're waiting and to find out, these judges' decision. But while we're waiting, we're making people aware of who is, Brother H-Rap Brown. Who is Brother Jamil Al-Amin? This is something that needs to be done. And this brother has been sick inside the prison, and he still suffers from medical neglect, the effects of that, just like Mumia Abu-Jamal did. And I'm saying we have got to do everything that we can, getting into churches, getting into schools. You can get into the schools using, the civil rights man. Who is this man here? Who is this H-Rap Brown? And where is he at now? It is so important that we get involved in this case. Because people always want people to do, they're looking for a savior when the savior is in yourself, and this brother, he shows this. But when they stand up in this government snatches, it is our duty our duty, if we're looking for people to continue being this way, it's our duty to make people understand who they are, whose shoulders are we standing on. You know, why do we have these, you know, I'm getting ready to say these rights, a lot of things that we have, you know, now, and all, you know, and they're fastly taking them away, and all. He was a part of that movement that made sure, and all, the schools were unsegregated, made sure that police brutality wasn't. He's also the reason why they went after him, because in Atlanta, where he lived at that particular time, him, his wife, and his children, and all, the Iman Jamil Al-Amin was cleaning up the drug situation in Atlanta, and all, you know, uplifting neighborhoods, and all, people were at his trial, and all, you know, that remembered him from back then when he was cleaning up Atlanta. Elders was talking about they were able to sit outside. They felt free walking down the street without the fear of somebody shooting them, cops beating them, you know, whatever. He made that area that he lived in, and it was widening out an area where people could live humanely. And also we must, you know, step up for him. And again, I want to say that site is What Happened, the number 2, Rap. What Happened to Rap? Please go there. And if you Google Rap Brown's hearing, you will be able to see footage of the people who came out and the things that people were saying. And one of the scenes that the that the news media showed was the day that he was sentenced. And his wife, Karima, who is also one of his attorneys, and his son looked to be maybe 10 or 11. And, you know, when they announced it, how he just doubled over with the hurt and all that, you know, no one believed that they would take his father away. And but you know, in all these years, this brother has emerged, and he's now heading group to bring Brother Jamil Al-Amin home and to bring the attention. So I'm saying, young folks with their history and stuff that's here, get with this brother. He's also a rapper, and join him. You know, where you know, and helping to bring attention to this brother here, who is 75 years old and still in the bowels of the belly of the beast, the torture, the solitary confinement that, you know, this brother has been into, and of the death of family members where he could not be there, and all the closing in of the walls, being in solitary confinement, being able to maintain his sanity for his people, not for Jamil, but for his people, because he had, you know, he feels that he got to be this example of resistance. You know, I get very emotional, you know, when I think about, you know, what's happening to this brother, knowing that he's sick in there and still, you know, defying these monsters with everything he has.
That's very understandable, Leon. Can you give us a brief update on Mumia, please?
Right. Mumia, I got to breathe in between that one. Mumia, a judge by the name of Judge Tucker, and all, who was overhearing Mumia's case for over 2 years, and all, came up and stated that, you know, Mumia, you know, his case needed to be appealed. And when he made his decision, he made it airtight. No one could get around it. But our liberal, the liberal DA, Mr. Krasner, appealed it. And it just, you know, sent shockwaves throughout the United States and outside, shocking people so bad that lawyers, number one, when the judge made the decision that Mumia case should be appealed, that means that all the evidence that was not in Mumia's case before will be added in there now. The evidence of innocence, the evidence of the frame up, and all, you know. So When the DA did what he did, and there was a group called the Rebellious Lawyers, and lawyers across the United States, student lawyers across the United States and outside in Canada, and all rose up and found out, when they found out that Krasner was going to be the DA, be the keynote speaker at the Rebellious Lawyers Conference in Yale, and they stepped to the people who had invited them and told them about what was happening with Mumia and what this man did. They disinvited him, and they had Mumia as the keynote speaker. This judge, Judge Tucker, and I feel to say that Judge Tucker is a black judge, who stood up against the FOP, stood up against the Supreme Court, the federal courts, and everything by stating the truth that Mumia deserved to have an appeal because they all turned him down, and he listed the reasons why. And also, when the DA appealed it, he lied about the case and lied about what Judge Tucker said. But when you appeal, you have got to write to the judge why you're appealing. And everybody was shocked again at the response of the judge who let this lawyer, this DA, who is fully knowledgeable of the law, let him know that he misrepresented everything that he said. And people can go to the mobilization number 4, Mumia, to get the details of that. But where we're at right now, after these two big things and the movement around the country and outside about, what happened to Mumia, the DA finally crumbled and only behind people power and conceded that Mumia need to have an appeal hearing. Right now it's before Superior Court. The Superior Court is leading it to a 3-judge Superior Court panel to do the decision. We don't know what they're going to come up with, but what we do know is the evidence of what the judge said, the evidence of the conspiracy when the DA stepped in and appealed, because this is something with the DA that has been going on historically, but what's the difference is the judge backed it up. We need to get that information to people, and we need to educate people again. Although Mumia cases worldwide, there are people who, within our community here in Philadelphia have no idea who Mumia is and what it is that he is going through.
Okay, Sister Pam, we have Sister Terry Brand on the line. She's going to be doing a live report on what's going on in the Venezuela embassy. Can you just give our people a contact number where they can stay with you for those who would like to keep an abreast on what's going on with these two individuals? How can they reach out to you? And then we'll be coming to Terry Brand live at the Venezuela embassy up in D.C.
So oh, wow. Okay, I want to listen to that. Okay, my phone number is 267-760-7344. And, people can contact us as well through the mobilizationformumia.com. And that's mobilizationnumber4mumia.com. Look, thank you so much. And people should get the book Solitary. And about Brother Woodfox.
Okay, so
thank you so much.
Thank you for filling out Mr. Page's history today. And give our love to both of the brothers. We love you all. We thank you.
All right, listen, audience,
you listen to Pan Africa. She was giving me an update on what's going on in our community, in our political community, as it relates to Mumia Jamil Abu, and also this whole question of what's going on with Jamil Alameen, who is a very, very hard-working political organizer for our people. Right now, we're going to do something real special. We have a live report from Terry Brown. She's up in Washington, D.C., at the Venezuelan Embassy. And Sister Terry, we'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you so much, Brother Lee. I hope you can hear me. It's noisy out here, and I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I'm trying. I'm going to hang in there.
Okay, Sister Terry, can you tell our listening audience, why are you there? What's going on at the Venezuela Embassy?
Well, for 30-plus days now, people have been inside the Venezuelan embassy at the invitation of the legitimate government of Venezuela, whose president is Maduro, holding political meetings and demanding an end to U.S. aggression against Venezuela, an end to coup attempts, an end to sanctions, no invasion. And about 10 days ago, the police and Secret Service sealed off the building. So there are around 20 people who call themselves the Embassy Protection Collective, and that's what they are. They've been inside holding the Venezuelan embassy for the legitimate government, the pro-coup appointed by Washington leader Juan Guaido wants to move his people into the embassy, and we're out here saying no. Two days ago, the electric company cut off power to the embassy. Today, they have cut off the water supply to the embassy protectors. So a call went out for people across the country to come to the embassy, and we're part of that group. We came from Richmond, Virginia. Some of the groups out here are the Defenders from Richmond. I've seen the Black Alliance for Peace, Code Pink, the Answer Coalition, the Popular Resistance. Many different groups are represented, and there's a group of pro-Guaido, I call them a mob, across the street in front of the embassy. And right now we're holding a rally demanding an end to U.S. aggression towards Venezuela.
Why are
they very loud?
Sister Terry, from your own understanding, why is the U.S. against the Venezuela government? The only thing it seems to be, when you research the history of the Venezuela government, they are put into social policies to help the people. What is this really all about from your perspective, Sister Terry?
Well, from the Bolivarian process that has been going on in Venezuela for decades is about bringing equality and justice to the majority in Venezuela. It is about trying to build on the ashes of a colonial society that empowered and enriched an elite, a new and just society where every person counts. And this is what it's about, as well as the fact that Venezuela has the world's largest reserves of oil and other resources that the United States wants to get its hands on. It also has a geopolitical dimension because China and Russia and Cuba are all partners in Venezuela, and they are, the U.S. is losing no opportunity to go after the countries that it perceives as its challengers, its enemies. So it is multifaceted reasons for this ongoing attack against Venezuela.
And Terry, for folks who'd like to support the work that you're doing, support those in the embassy and find out more about Venezuela, where can they find out more information? How can they support? How can they join this movement?
Well, you know, you can tune in to the Answer Coalition. They're doing some good work. Code Pink, locally in Richmond, the Defenders are coordinating transportation. And actually, some of us had planned on spending a few nights inside the embassy until it was decided at some level of the U.S. government to shut the doors. And, you know, right now, the water's been turned off today, the electricity yesterday. They have not allowed food inside the embassy for, I was here last Thursday and Friday. They allowed some food in on Thursday, and then the mob attacked us for daring to give some beans and rice and so forth to the people inside the embassy. And the police and Secret Service have been, they have been facilitating this, trying to starve out the people that are invited guests of the Venezuelan government. This is in violation of international law, and there is a Vienna Convention that says that embassies need to be protected in any given country, and if the U.S. is allowed to place a puppet government in the Venezuelan embassy as they would like to, this has repercussions internationally. So the struggle is important. Anybody who can get to the embassy, which is at 30th and M Street in Georgetown, should come and join the struggle because it's ongoing. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but for now, without lights, without water, there are about 20-plus people inside the embassy who have no plans to leave.
Hi, Sister Terry. We'd like to thank you for a live report up in Washington, D.C. for Venezuela Embassy, and stay in touch, and we thank you for your contribution to Missing Pages of History today. We thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Lee. I'll talk to you later. Power to the people.
All right, listen. All right, listen, audience. Listen to Missing Pages of History. We're going to pause for this cause right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Institution of African Liberation Day, and we're going to talk to our sister, Sophia, on how your home can kill you. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History.
Thanks for having me, Brother Lee. Revolutionary greetings to the listening audience and the fellow guests on your program today. The All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, is organizing our 43rd commemoration of African Liberation Day and Palestine Day 2019. Our theme this year is Generations of Resistance and Revolts, Rebellions and Revolutions as Illuminated in Cuba, Haiti, Libya, Palestine, and Venezuela. smash the repression industrial complex worldwide, remembering and honoring the birthdays of Ho Chi Minh and Malcolm X. This will take place next Saturday, May 18th, 2019, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, U.S. It'll be a revolutionary international podcast symposium. For more information, please contact us at 202-239-2676. RSVP to ALD at a-aprp-gc.org. And you can visit our website. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Finish your point, brother.
You can visit our website at www.a-aprp-gc.org for more information.
Brother Anthony, can you speak to the importance of this institution? How will it or can it have an impact on all of the problems that our people are facing around the world?
Okay, African Liberation Day was established to mark the onward progress of the struggle to achieve Pan-Africanism, which is the total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism. When this is achieved. It will provide a home and a land base for Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. And it's critical to solving the problems of oppression we face around the world, because the root of most of the problems we face, such as racism, imperialism, Zionism, capitalism, unemployment, etc., are due to the fact that we do not control our own land base, and the resources of Africa aren't being used to help African people.
And this year, AID is making or is emphasizing the historical contribution role of the masses of the people. Can you just talk a little bit about that? How do African Liberation Day this year see the masses of the people? How do they view them? Why are they highlighting the masses in their role?
Certainly. The AAPRPGC is organizing African Liberation Day, Palestine Day 2019, to reaffirm our undying love, pay homage and tribute to and applaud generations of African people, and we are acknowledging and honoring our peasants, nomads, workers, students, other intellectuals, youth and women from ancient times to the present who resisted, revolted, rebelled, and organized revolution. And we're honoring the masses of the people. And they are the true people, of sons and daughters of Africa. We're also commemorating Palestine Day by reaffirming our principle and unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people's just and revolutionary struggle against Zionism and its illegal and moral crime against humanity, the settler colonial apartheid state of Israel. The liberation of Palestine will mark a breakthrough in the annals of Arab, African, and world history.
And Brother Anthony, again, how can they support this particular institution? How can they support your organization? And how can you find out more information?
Certainly. You can support us by checking out our ALD commemoration next Saturday, May 18th, from 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. And for more information, you can call 202-239-2676 or visit our website at www.aprp-gc.org. www.a-aprp-gc.org. And you can also find out more information about the history and the development of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC.
Okay, Brother Anthony, we'd like to thank you for your contribution to today's program, Mysteries in History. And we'd like to thank your organization for all that you do to try to make a better humanity for African people and all humanities. We thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, now what we're going to do, we're going to make a transition to Sister Sophia Sorribinio. She has an interesting project that she is working on. A feature issue or a feature activity for this program today is centered around her work. We talk about how your home or your resident can kill you, and she can talk about that in terms of the value of knowing what's in your home and the danger of what is going on in our communities and not being served. This is a Missing Pages. So right now, we'd like to bring in our sister, Sophia. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. Sophia, can you just first and foremost let our listening audience know who you are?
Lee, I'm sorry. I got to go in the car because there's so much noise in the background. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We got to go in the car. Sorry. Actually, I'm an Iranian woman. I'm calling from Minnesota here that has been trying for the past literally 10 years trying to get some kind of a class action lawsuit that I've been trying to wait to see if I can get some help because 10 years ago, I come from a family of molecular scientists in Iran and doctors. So I was actually raised literally under a microscope since I was 5 years old. And I've been trying to see if I can stand up regarding a human rights violation and human health violation that actually happened to me in Minnesota regarding, this actually started October of 2007, when I moved in literally, first of all, I come from a kind of a cultural background that my family were extremely wealthy, I guess you call it, but I became kind of, my background came from a different kind of background, but in my family, we always stood up for human rights and, you know, things like that in Iran, so I kind of grew up in something like that, but it's regarding what happened to me in Minnesota that I'm trying to get out and get out in the media so we can get flash action that the bunch of up in that area covered. But I'm trying to sound up with children and trying to basically take this to United Nations and stand up because it is air pollution and it's an air toxin that actually it is the only cause of literally the North Pole and the whole Earth up, you know, and it actually stems all in the Bible that a lot of people have no idea about. So what happened was I moved in October of 2007. Make a story short, I started getting sick, and I found that the building was in literally infested with triclosan, mycotoxin. It was used as a biowarfare, and it is in everybody's home. It doesn't see black and white. What it does is it strikes, bringing children and people's immune system down, including pets. And I found out they've known about it, Lee, for the past 30 presidents. There is a guy who's in his old man that wrote the book, Your Poison. And it is extremely dangerous toxin to the point I found a microbiologist later, a medical pathologist, I'm sorry, that actually wanted to stand up for the public speaking as a whistleblower, I guess you call it, to stand up. What happened to me is I started getting sick. They found out what's going on with this building that certain area. What happened is they illegally, we found that it was set up that day for me to go to court. be averted not to go to court when I was there. I was put in the street, language for saying this, with no undergarments because I was running around trying to see if somebody could help me. We found that the police in that area intentionally, including where the police actually were, they hired them. They did not help me. We found out they wanted me to make a report. I moved in $500,000. This is not a joke. Persian carpets. You can see this. I was able to take $250,000 worth of goods, and I traveled all over the world with my family. My Iranian and American passports were kept as custody for me to sign my rights up because of what I was reading that actually went in my lungs to the point I started seeing people who literally came out of it. And I found that the buildings so infested that actually I have pictures to prove. And make a story short, they put me in the street with no undergarment, locked me out in Minnesota here, out of my apartment, what I have lived in. Thank God I took the pictures. And not one person helped me. We found out NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, it seems like they got some kind of money from them in 2009. Either maybe being quiet, or just, I don't know what happened, but the media intentionally not in here would not take my story, would make fun of me. People kept telling me, you got to write a book. It's unbelievable. And nobody did anything about this. And I was working with a writer. I mean, like I said, I lost everything. Yeah, illegally. And we found that this was a criminal issue to the point I called the FBI. And I called the city of the attorney's office that you have to get an attorney. And every attorney I went to in that area would not help me because they kept saying your case is so big, you need a multi-million-dollar law firm to take your case. But the fact is, this is the only cause of is the only cause of autism. It is the only cause of people getting sick. It's the only cause of people. Right now they're talking about Chicago. Through the throat. Well, what are you breathing through the lung and throat, right? It's a pathogen that is what it gives off. They call it microbial pathogen. It's pathogenic fungi. That's the trichosis mycotoxins. People, they call it mold. Mold, toxic mold, is very dangerous. It was used as a biowarfare. It was used in Vietnam. Right now, what they're spraying in the air, all this chemtrails, I'm calling it a population. A lot of people have no idea the fungi that is stuck on the trees, dehydrating the trees, is the only cause of people aging and getting sick and causing them cancer. Nobody knows about this unless you're a medical pathologist that want to tell the truth. People need to stop that. But what we need to do is I have to get on, try to see if I can get in the, have the video help me. Because we need to get in that building specifically to let the people know. Because they had actually wrote people a letter. Have the letter. I've had a lot of words that are unbelievable. To the point that are, that we need to let the people know in that building. The building is was supposed to be closed, and this is a very expensive building, mind you. But the Department of Health not even put my health in danger. It literally, I went from looking like a 24-year-old. The people asking me if I'm there, I'm on their basically. And I have pictures of before I moved in, what I look like. It literally took my dog's life to my life, basically. And on top of it, I'm trying to stop the people.
Hey, sister,
I'm sorry,
Phil,
sorry.
Can we ask you, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you how can they contact you for people who want to know more about what's going on, how they can help you. And we're going to re-invite you back to our next program because as you were speaking, your voices was going in and out. So just do the best you can, quickly tell us how can we support you, how we get in touch with you, and we're going to bring you back on our next program to make sure people have been able to hear everything that has taken place, okay? So how can they contact you in order to support your work?
Well, if you want, they can call me at my phone number. That would be better. I leave a message.
Okay, leave the number for them.
Sure. My phone number is 612
612-385-3444. So 612-385-3444.
Hi. Sister Fafiyu, we'd like to thank you for your contribution. We will be getting back with you. Again, this audience, if you would like to support and find out more about this toxin inside your home, in your community, and how it can kill you, please contact the sister. Sister Fafiyu, we thank you for being on Missing Pages of History.
Thank you. God bless. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Hi, listen, audience, we would like to wrap up this program. We just would like to share with you that MPH, Missing Pages of History, is a biweekly program, radio program. You can hear us every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. To find out more about our organization, we encourage you to go to our website at www.mphinc.org. We also encourage you that you can support us by sending any kind of contribution. We are a nonprofit organization, Tax 501(c). You can send it to Missing Pages of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, that's Richmond, Virginia, 23261. To someone, we have all kind of activities coming up. Go to our website, find out. In the fall, we'll be doing our Wednesday weekly TV program on Comcast and Bayou radio station, channel 95 and 96. Stay tuned for more information. And also, we are opening up a new membership. If you are interested in joining and helping us to build this organization, please do so by emailing us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Until next time, we'd like to thank you for allowing us to come into your home this evening, and let's continue to fill in those missing pages of history. We'll see you in 2 weeks. You have been listening to the voice of Missing Pages of History. We are on the front line. Come and join us.
Father.